Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. It's another week of FPC Radio Live, and we were blessed this weekend, or at least in the closing hours of the weekend, I guess, to get a lot of quarterback movement news. Some new contracts, but the three quarterbacks that we've been talking about the most, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, and because of our connection with the New England Patriots, of course, Mac Jones, all have either signed a new deal or been traded. And it's a lot different than we left the NFL on Friday there, John.
Yeah, without question. Obviously, you know, we were still questioning if Baker Mayfield was going to re-sign with Tampa. He did, 3 years, $100 million. Russell Wilson was free to make a deal with any team he wanted to at the veterans minimum because the Denver Broncos are going to be paying a salary for the next 2 years. And Pittsburgh's not really a surprise, Ian. I mean, I think he wanted to go to a place where he had a chance to win. And then
why did he go to Pittsburgh?
Well,
win what? Eight games, or a Super Bowl? What are we talking about here?
Well, you wanted him with the Patriots. What was he going to win with them?
I didn't say he was going to the Patriots to win, John.
True. You wanted him to make them more relevant.
It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade, yes, but
it's an upgrade. Yeah, it'd be an upgrade for Pittsburgh too. I think they've got pretty below average play at quarterback.
Oh, sure. They were almost a mirror image of the Patriots. Just the Patriots didn't win a lot of those close games, you know, where Pittsburgh won some of those, you know, close games. But, they were pretty much the same. Really good defense, atrocious offense, historically bad offense.
Yep. They found ways to win those close games, like you said. And again, maybe he just has a really good year and then he does this again next year. Or Pittsburgh. Who knows what's going to happen with Russell Wilson? I mean, a lot of the teams that are ready to contend for Super Bowls already have quarterbacks, so you're not going to kind of crash the party there. I mean, people threw out Atlanta as a possibility because they appear to have a pretty good roster, but I don't think they're Russell Wilson away from being a Super Bowl team. And then Mac Jones, we kind of expected him to get traded, but it happened sooner rather than later. They got a sixth-round pick for him, and that 2021 quarterback draft, five guys drafted in the first round, and by the time we start next year, four will be on new teams, and the only guy left on his original team is Trevor Lawrence, and we both agreed his first 3 years been somewhat of a disappointment.
Well, and don't forget about Justin Fields. He could be on a new team, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's going to be on a new team. Zach Wilson, obviously, already we've got Trey Lance with the Cowboys, and of course, Mac Jones now with Jacksonville. Yeah, I expect Justin Fields to be on a new team next year, and Zach Wilson. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in terms of compensation.
Well, you know,
so far we see Trey Lance got a fourth round pick, got a sixth round pick.
Well, and there's a couple things. First of all, it's not all about the numbers. It's just a fascinating look at both Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence having almost identical numbers at this point in their careers, which is pretty remarkable, John, when you think about. Well, just you know how the frustration people have with Mac Jones in New England. And despite obviously being in the, you know, same quarterback class, didn't get nearly the type of hype that Trevor Lawrence has. So now that team is stuck with two underperformers from that draft. So that's going to be fascinating. And, you know, does it help Jacksonville? I don't think so. I mean, it's nice because look, he gets to go to his hometown. He's from Jacksonville, you know, that area. And you know what? Hey, maybe that's going to help him, you know, kind of refine himself. But much like Trevor Lawrence, and we've watched this from Mac Jones, the biggest concern is like he's made absolutely no progress with like his footwork and pocket awareness. It's as bad as it's ever been, and I think that's the biggest concern when it comes to Mac Jones, and it tells me that it's not necessarily about, well, he just needs a fresh start. It's like, no, he needs to drastically overhaul his mechanics, and I don't know if that can happen for either guy at this point, you know?
Sometimes, Ian, I think when I look at these quarterbacks that were drafted high, and Trevor Lawrence won a national championship at Clemson, and Mac Jones won a national championship at Alabama. So, obviously, those two guys had clean pockets for most of their career. So now they get to the NFL where they actually probably are playing with a less talented offensive line. I'm not being hyperbolic about that. I think you can make a case that Alabama's offensive line in 2020 was probably as good, if not better, than the Patriots' offensive line this year. So now they're dealing with something they've never dealt with before. Like, what's this? There's a defensive lineman at my feet. There's an on rusher for my blind side. I can't really feel him because I've never really been hit before. So it's a process they have to learn to deal with that chaos that they never had to deal with in college. I was like, Trevor Lawrence, I think, may have lost one game in high school and college, or two games in high school and college, and Mac Jones didn't lose many more. So all of a sudden they get to a new place and it's not the same. They're not playing with maybe the same level of talent. They're certainly playing against a much higher level of talent against them. So yeah, that's part of it, right? That's why when you look at quarterbacks that come out of somewhat chaotic situations, they seem to grow quicker. Like Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech wasn't playing with a lot of talent, and he was always in these crazy shootouts.
Well, certainly on defense too. And right. Look,
yeah,
and we've talked about this a lot actually, and how this you know, from 20 years ago till now, how the college game, there's a lot of things that are mirrored in the NFL as opposed to in years past, where it's not a completely different game. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, it's like a foreign language, but it, you know, going from college to the NFL, but in a way it almost was, because the philosophies and how they attacked and some of the rules too. I mean, one of the things that stands out is obviously what's in bounds in college is not in bounds in the NFL. So, you know, and in college you can put the ball on the ground and the ball's dead, but you do that in the NFL, and we've seen that, you know, the ball's live. So there's obviously certain things that are different technically like that, but just how the game was called and what was valued and what was the offensive and defensive philosophies. Now there's a lot of similarities. So to your point, Mahomes goes from a completely chaotic situation at Texas Tech and with Cliff Kingsbury, John. Everyone wins with Patrick Mahomes, but Cliff Kingsbury. So I don't understand, but so you take that, you put him into the NFL, and you can argue in a much more stable situation, even though the defense wasn't great when he first came into the league, but the coaching was better. There was still talent on offense, something that, you know, certainly he didn't have as much of at Texas Tech. So it wasn't easier, John, but it was set up a lot better for him, and he already kind of, you know, sharpened his edges a bit in college dealing with those situations. Uh-huh. Where, like I said, to your point, plug in Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, Tua, it doesn't really matter. Alabama's going to be the same because, well, look at who the hell they're throwing to. Like, let's exactly. Be honest. They make up essentially a bulk of the best wide receivers in the league right now, or they were in years past. So it's tough to see that. I understand why I think Trevor Lawrence got the generational talent tag because of his athleticism, and I think more and more we're seeing now that athleticism does not equal quarterback ability. And it's crazy to me, John, that so many professionals are still like almost just gaga over athletic ability when it comes to quarterbacks. And it doesn't mean that it's not important for some. Obviously, you know, we just talked about Patrick Mahomes. It's important for him because he utilizes it well, but it doesn't mean that every athletic quarterback is going to be Patrick Mahomes or Steve Young or Steve McNair, you know, these great athletic guys that were able to use their athleticism to their advantage, where, you know, people sit there and say, wow, Trevor Lawrence, he's the best talent to come out of football since, or out of college since Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. Why? Because he has long hair, looks good on camera, and runs around and makes plays in college?
Well, I think part of him was that he, again, 6'6", so the size is impressive. He can make every throw. He won a lot at Clemson, but again, that doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL. I mean, who won more than Tim Tebow in college? You know, you can make a case Tim Tebow is one of the five best college quarterbacks of all time, and who was impressed with him in the NFL? Certainly I wasn't. You know, Cam Newton was a guy who
Skip Bayless was.
Skip Bayless was, yes. He was a better quarterback than apparently everybody in the league. You look at someone like Cam Newton, who was, I think, in a single season was the best college quarterback I've ever seen for a single season, considering he wasn't playing with much and he beat Alabama during the regular season. when Alabama was winning three of four national championships. I mean, if not for Cam Newton, Alabama probably wins four straight national championships. And Cam had a really nice NFL career. But, yeah, that look at Josh Allen. He played at Wyoming. Mm-hmm. You know, who was he throwing the ball to? And he struggled and was raw and developed. But, again, he had to learn to maybe do things quicker than, say, the guy who played at Alabama, the guy that played at Ohio State or USC. Now we're seeing C.J. Stroud is the guy who was at Ohio State, was excellent there, and stepped right in and picked it up in the NFL. But, again, he may be the rare case.
Well, but you can also see things almost immediately. And I think, you know, I was, you know, watching him in the NFL and, you know, you talk to some of his fans, you know, because of course, you know, everyone's going to take, if you're an Ohio State guy, you're obviously going to be high on CJ Stroud. Doesn't mean you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people, Ohio State guys are obviously going to hype up their guys. But when you actually watch him play and some of the smaller things, it's not about his ability to navigate outside. It's about always keeping his eyes downfield. It's about just making the right decision and accuracy. I mean, we've seen him make throws so early in his career that, I mean, you're not seeing Mac Jones make those throws.
No.
Like I mean, so to me, it can be pretty clear early on when a player's just different and they're just better at that position. Because, again, you just got to just set athleticism aside. Athleticism is a nice quality to have to complement your ability as a quarterback. It's not the driving force of what makes a quarterback great. And I think all too often, fans and in some cases the people that cover this team or this game are just so, again, just so enamored with, you know, it's different. The game's, oh my God, he's so athletic. He can do this. He can do that. Well, we're not doing the broad jump. We're not doing, you know, a 40-yard dash. I mean, that's great for the combine. I mean, it looks good there. But wake me up when we have a Super Bowl where it's two teams competing in combine events, and then maybe we can talk, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the impressive, and we've talked about this and we've come to agreement on this, the impressive thing about Patrick Mahomes is all of the intangibles. It's all the other stuff that makes him the best quarterback in the league right now, right?
Yeah. And look, I couldn't care less about sidearm throws and no look passes and all that. It's great and everything, and it gives something people easy. You know, it's easy for people to latch onto and all that. But I couldn't care less about that. It's all the other stuff that impresses me.
Yep, exactly. We're seeing this in the NBA right now. The best player in the NBA is Nikola Jokic. I don't even think there's a discussion for that. He has got to be the least athletic guy I've ever seen on a court.
Yeah.
Like, he can't jump. He doesn't run. He looks like a 55-year-old guy playing with his kids and his kids' friends. He looks like the old guy at the Y that, you know, maybe played in college and has a really great
like
mind.
Like semi-pro basketball, you know? That was
his junior college.
Cool.
He's really good. I mean, look at the way he reads the game. And this guy's the best player in the freaking NBA.
Yeah.
Like, the greatest league in the world where you've got guys with 48-inch vertical. Like, there's no better athletes than, you know, wings or point guards that play in the NBA. I mean, like a guy like Anthony Edwards, if he showed up at the combine, would probably blow everybody's mind, whether it be the 40-yard dash or the vertical or whatever. And here's a guy who's the best player in the league, who's 7 feet, 280, who moves at his own pace and couldn't jump, you know, more than a foot off the ground because of the way he controls the game. Same thing with the quarterback. So that's you're going to see this even with the six guys that may go in the first round in this year's draft.
Right. And like, you know, I'll relate it to one of my athletic achievements, I guess, playing flag football about 20 years ago. But we had one of our seasons or one, you know, it was, you know, at the time I was actually down here. But so, you know, we had four different seasons throughout the year. But our quarterback was just, you know, an older guy, you know, I think he was in his 40s, couldn't really move too well. After games, he'd look like Ben Roethlisberger walking with like ice packs on his knees and stuff like that. But he was 10 times better than any quarterback that played on. And they were, you know, it's flag football, so it's 7-on-7. So there's a lot of open field. So like quarterbacks like to run and like, it didn't matter. This guy just had an arm and accuracy and just knew the game. So, like, you know what I mean? It's to me, it was just, that's kind of hammers home. I know obviously it's flag football, not the real NFL. Although I played like I was Jerry Rice or Julian Edelman in the playoffs, but I had a 3-touchdown game there. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop because wow. I'm starting to sound like Al Bundy here, you know, scoring 4 touchdowns in a single game, including a one-handed catch. But I also made a boneheaded play by not running out of bounds in the closing seconds. And
oh, no, you can't do that.
No, that was unwise by my part. One of the reasons why I didn't make it to the NFL. One of them. There's many, many. The least of which is that I'm 5'11", I'm 155 pounds, and I would get absolutely crushed if I stepped on the football field. So that, and I'm also 37 years old. I think that dream has...
That makes it more difficult.
Yeah. So anyways, but so those two quarterbacks. Before we go here, though, another quarterback, Baker Mayfield. 3 years, $100 million, John. Look...
Good for him.
I said it all the time. Go get your money. Do what you got to do. I hope I'm wrong, but the Bucs are going to regret this. I know everyone's happy now. Oh, we're bringing Baker Mayfield back. We're bringing Mike Evans back. I don't know, John. I feel my gut's telling me that we just saw the absolute best we're going to get out of Baker Mayfield. And... I don't know, man. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, do I think it's a good move by the Buccaneers? Yes, because they don't have a quarterback. But can I also feel like they're going to regret it? Can I land on both sides of the fence here?
No. That's not good talk.
No, well, I like being indecisive. That way, you know what I'm saying?
I've said before, it's like Derek Jeter is great, but he's overrated. So, right. You know. Those two things can be true. So I guess they had no other choice, though, right? Because they don't have another quarterback. And look, in today's economy of the NFL, 3 years, $100 million, with $50 million of it being guaranteed, that's not a lot, especially when we see Kirk Cousins is probably going to get 2 years, $100 million, you know, mm-hmm. So with Baker Mayfield to get an extra year. What else were they supposed to do? They're not in a position really right. To draft a quarterback unless they go up and try to get into the top 10 and what get JJ McCarthy, who's supposed to sit for 2 years before he's ready to play. So there's like a lot of stuff that goes into this. I don't think they had any other choice. They re-upped Mike Evans. They won the division a year ago. They are pretty well-run organization. I think they draft okay. So maybe get you 10 wins. The key thing here is, Ian, after 2 years, you could probably move on. And again, with the salary cap going up and up and up, I guess they really had no other choice.
Yeah, no, and that's where I feel like I got to land on both sides here, where it's like, I agree, I don't think they had a choice, but it's just, you know, what's the feeling after next year if they go out and they're 4-13 and you know, he has a season like he did in say, Cleveland. All of a sudden...
Right.
You may be in a position to draft a quarterback, and you may not have a choice, even if you don't like the prospect, because you're stuck with that much money. You're paying him $50 million guaranteed, and you're 1 year into a 3-year deal, and you have what I think is a limited window because of Mike Evans' age and some of the players on defense that are getting older. You have some nice pieces, but, you know, this is, I don't know. It's like I said, it's. No, Kyle asked to trade it for Justin Fields, and I'm like, I don't know. No, I mean, again, I don't have a great answer for this. I really don't. I mean, I'll be honest. I feel like November, December, we're going to be, you know, Bucs fans are going to be sitting there being frustrated because the team's not going to be as good as they expected. I think Baker Mayfield's going to drastically underperform, and they're going to be in a kind of a jam next year because they can't get rid of him. Without taking a huge dead cap hit, and they're just getting out of the cap hit that they had to hold for Brady, you know, after he retired. Right. So are they willing to do that again and then try to roll the dice on another quarterback or, you know, draft and hope that they develop while Mike Evans continues to get older and Chris Godwin gets older? So I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those situations where, like, the reality of it is, if you're not going to go to the Super Bowl and win, the best thing for you is to probably lose every, you know, lose every game so you get the highest draft pick and the most draft capital. I mean, realistically, obviously that, I mean, not that's not realistic, but realistically that's not happening because, well, that's just not how the game's played. You know what I mean? It's like the team that, mm-hmm. like, okay, say maybe you're 5-12, all right, and you're sitting with the third. It's the same discussion we had about the Patriots at the end of the year. The smart thing would be just to, you know, if you're not doing it, if you're not going to make it this year, just don't win a game and get the best pick and have the most opportunity to pick the best players. But obviously that's not the case, John. That's not going to happen. So the Buccaneers are kind of stuck. You know, it was nice that they made the playoffs again. I think in any other division, of course, they're not even going to sniff the playoffs. So it gives them a false sense of security, so to speak, that, yeah, you know what, we're actually competitive, when the reality of it is, John, I don't know how competitive they're going to be outside of that division. And I know they beat the Eagles, but how high were we on the Eagles at the end of the season? Not at all.
Oh, I think probably 2/3 of the teams in the league could have beaten the Eagles.
Yeah.
And now we've seen half the Eagles retiring or getting traded, so it's like they're cleaning house there after a 10-1 start. The only thing I look at Baker Mayfield is his average annual value on his contract is about 16th in the league among quarterbacks, and he's about the 16th best quarterback. So it seems to be
it's an appropriate number. I just, you know, like right. I said, I just, it's all relative, John. So he's the 16th best quarterback in the league because of what I feel is a weakened overall group of quarterbacks. Doesn't mean we don't have some good ones at the top. I just don't think it's as deep as it has been in years past. So, yeah, of course, someone's going to have to be the 16th best quarterback in the league. It just so happens to be Baker Mayfield. So, I think if a few teams, you know, maybe some of these rookies do come in and you know, start. I think it's very quickly he'll move down that list in terms of where you're going to rank these quarterbacks. You know, if just a couple guys kind of either turn it around or come into the league, like CJ Stroud, maybe not to that extent, but you know what I mean? Like just a couple pretty good quarterbacks, I think knocks him down the list pretty far in my opinion.
Oh so. Yeah. But he gives you a puncher's chance, makes them relevant.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the start with that. And again, Kyle Trask has never really developed. I mean, the plan was to draft him high in the second round a couple of years ago, let him sit behind Brady, and that's just not
working. I said a couple years ago that when they decided in that last regular season game not to give Kyle Trask any snaps and they went with Blaine Gabbert, I was like, they made the decision there. There's no way that they're going to. They're like, oh, just give him a chance. It's like, no, they've watched him for years and training camp and practice, like if they were going to give him a shot, that was a chance for him to have a shot, and they didn't. Right. So to me, that was like, yeah, that's a pretty clear indicator that Kyle Trask is not the guy. And we saw that obviously because they went out and signed Baker Mayfield, the quote unquote quarterback competition that wasn't really a competition. So yeah. Hey. Here we go, rocking and rolling. We didn't even talk about Chris Jones signing a new contract with the Chiefs, but we'll do that tomorrow, though. We got plenty of talk about this week. There's going to be a lot of action going on with free agency and the new league year starting, and we've already seen a lot of quarterback news. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.